So I'm going to go through these sections. First, background, basic data concepts, some recent study relevant to the topic, open questions, points of debate, and technical aspects, cases, and our results. So some basic data that you need to remember is that when you are talking about thrombectomy, we mean, of course, thrombectomy in large vessels. We don't mean thrombectomy in small vessels. So large artery occlusion for stroke cases presenting in big hospitals is from 30% to almost half. So it's a big percentage. The great majority of these cases are anterior circulation strokes, and most of them media cerebri, MCA strokes. And the great majority of those are embolic strokes. So these are important facts to remember for the large arteries occlusion. Dr. Schwarz said already about the mismatch and the concept. What is the mismatch concept is based on the MR. The diffusion represents the ischemic core. The perfusion imaging shows the hyperperfusion, and the volumetric difference between the two is the mismatch. I don't need to say more about that. Some examples. So this is diffusion abnormality. Here is the core of this infarction. This corresponds to the blood volume most of the times. Here, the same. And this is time to peak, where one can see the delay, therefore the hypoperfused brain. So this is the hypoperfused brain, the red, and this is the core. So the mismatch is the rest, this red up and down. But remember that there is also benign oligemia. Not all of this tissue here is to be saved. And we cannot distinguish the benign oligemia from the tissue at risk. So we have this difficulty. Here is the MR, here is CT. You see here in the CT, volume and flow, suspicion of some lesion here only, otherwise it's okay. And this is the time to peak, big area hypoperfused. And if this is the hypoperfused, and this is the core, we have a large amount of brain to salvage. So this patient has a carotid occlusion. This patient has also carotid occlusion, the same lesion. The time is approximately the same. You see here the ischemic core is big, and the tissue to save is less than this patient where the core is very small and the tissue to save is much more. Although the lesion is the same, and although the time is approximately the same. And here another case, again carotid occlusion. The core is very big now. There is nothing to save here. There is no mismatch here. This lesion is more or less the same. And I'm saying more or less because you cannot be more precise. And certainly this tissue is going to be infected. You cannot save this tissue. A few years ago, we had some studies showing that there is no benefit after endovascular treatment. In 2015, four or five studies came one after the other, randomized all of them, showing that there is a significant benefit when we treat patients with large vessel occlusion. And you see here the significant benefit in modified Mayo scale scores compared to the control arm. These studies had an important inclusion criteria, and this was a criteria of time. And if we, with the exception of ESCAPE study, all the other studies had some relatively small time limit, 6 hours, 4.5, etc., 6 hours. So this is an important point to remember. Is that okay? I don't think it is so much okay. This study here, the Mr. Clean, showed that this is one of the most of the important of the five studies, that within 6 hours, the intra-arterial treatment, the endovascular, I mean the thrombectomy treatment, was effective and safe. Now, a significant question is coming, And this question is, does it mean that thrombectomy beyond 6 hours cannot be effective and safe? Or does it mean that we should treat all patients who come within 6 hours? So if we base only on the criteria of time, the answers are easy, but practically it is not so easy. You have to keep in mind the background. The concepts in neurology, unfortunately, in the beginning at least, up to now I would say, are copy-paste concepts from the cardiology. But the brain is not a muscle. So time was the only criteria, as in cardiology. Imaging was a non-contrasted CTY just to exclude bleeding. And all studies in the beginning, 3 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 90 minutes, 6 hours, and the consequences of that, that the criteria, the only criteria was time, nothing else, is of course that we have no studies with penumbra imaging, at least for the three first hours. We know that the recanalization with IV lights is for 30 to 90, very wide range. Practically we know nothing. With the recanalization of large vessels, we know that it is less beneficial, but we don't know whether there is a benefit from penumbra imaging for the patients who come at the first 3 hours. And the question is it possible that we harm patients by giving intravenous lysis blindly based only on the criteria of time? So these studies, again, were based on not only on time criteria, but all on other criteria as well as imaging criteria. These are imaging criteria. So this is a patient treated within 3 hours, mechanical thrombectomy. Occluded carotid, recanalized within 3 hours, and this is the result. Why is that? The time is fine. Something else is wrong. You see here the core, and you see the time to peak. If you compare these two, put one over the other, you see that the time to the tissue to save, I would say it is like what one would expect as benign oligemia, so there's nothing to save here. Point one. Point two, the core is very large. This might be an explanation. Another patient treated within 9 hours now, far beyond the accepted times. Time to peak, hyperperfused brain, a big area, no core or small core. Occluded MCA, carotid practically, carotid termination is here occluded, here you see it. Why we don't have core here? This is the explanation. We have very good collaterals going down to the occluded site, and there is a collateral circulation that covers this territory. After recanalization, we lost only the basal ganglia after 20 minutes with one pass from score 80 to 1 in 1 day. So, the message here, time alone is not a reliable selection criteria for thrombectomy. Large core, small penumbra, IV lysis plus recanalization might be a dangerous cocktail, regardless time. Mechanical thrombectomy can be done successfully well beyond known accepted time limits. The more we treat late, the more we need selection. Therefore, time is brain, if we mean that the relation is linear between time and the infraction, it is not correct. It's too simplistic for doctors. It is acceptable for the public. So does it mean that we should throw away our clocks? No. Why? Because time is the only factor that we can influence. It's the only factor that we can influence. We have a reason to run and go quickly to the hospital, and for the public this is important. We cannot change the collateral of the people, of course. So currently we have two strategies parallel. One is a strategy based on the criteria of time, IV lysis. The neurologists give this medication based exclusively on the criteria of time. And in parallel, we have the mechanical thrombectomy based mostly on imaging criteria, not on time criteria. So the game is a bit more complex. It's not only the blood flow and the time, it's the sensitivity of the brain tissue in different regions of the brain, are the collaterals and the very complex interaction. And this is expected. Brain is not a muscle. So what is the role of the collaterals? As a rule, in the stroke, the collaterals are not sufficient, are affected by the ischemic core and the time, and it is part of the definition. When you say MCA stroke, we mean failed collaterals. That's why the patient came to the hospital, otherwise would stay at home. This is the way we measure the collateralization, and we found that the collateralization is good according to these definitions in a minority of cases. Here is a case that shows the role of the collaterals. This patient had no core, and you see some delay in the time to peak. However, came with score 8, was symptomatic. Why? Because there was an occlusion of the MCA. The collaterals are very good, if you see here. They go down quickly to the occluded site. We opened this several times, and it was coming again, thrombus at that point. At the end, we put a stent and we kept the vessel open for a few days. We had this small infarction. And after several days, we repeated the control. The artery was closed. The patient was asymptomatic. Why? Because the collaterals were enough to keep this territory alive. We lost only this because we lost the vessels linked to the thrombus on that area. Otherwise, the collaterals could cover the territory. Sometimes in patients with low score, it's difficult to make decisions. This is a patient with low score, 1 to 2. In these cases, we don't normally do operations. We don't open these vessels. And the patient is now 10 hours after the onset. Few hours later, at 18 hours, the patient progressed to score 3 than 1, 2. The lesions, if you compare the two, practically are the same, more intense now. During the night, we thought that this is the development of these non-new lesions, edema, etc., which justifies the progression of the score of the patient. No operation, progression to hemiplegia a few hours later. Score 8. So it's difficult to, and in this patient, of course, as you can imagine, no intravenous lysis was given. Why? Because the patient was already at 10 hours. And the question is that correct? Is that correct without lesion in the MR? No core, nothing. I think it is not correct. I cannot prove it, but I don't think this is correct. We'll see that in the future, perhaps. So the message here. The importance of time depends on the efficacy of the collaterals. Good collaterals gives us time to intervene. Bad collaterals do not give time, not even 3 hours. Sufficient collaterals raise suspicion of pre-existing stenosis. Decisions for very low score patients is often challenging. Sometimes we lose the game. And the question to neurologists is time beyond 4.5 hours really a contraindication for EV lysis in low score patients where there is no core ischemia? How select patients for thrombectomy? Several ways to do that. We based on perfusion imaging ourselves, despite questions and weaknesses. So the standard in Zurich is CT, angio, and perfusion. In wake-up constellations, we use MR. We tend to use in children and posterior circulation MR, but we cannot succeed. I skip that. If there are questions about the weakness of the mismatch concept, I can come back. The same with diffusion imaging. So the studies which used imaging criteria, and mostly the extent study, this is perfusion CT, you see that The success rate was higher compared to the other studies, but what is the difference? That they treat less patients. More criteria, more strict criteria, less patients. Less strict criteria, more futile operations. So there is a question, how much mismatch should be? 1.5 the ratio, higher? So it is the same game. If you go down with the ratio, then you treat more patients, but the futile operations are more, and the complications are more. Open questions, I skip that. General anesthesia versus conscious sedation. Arguments for and against. We do the operations under general anesthesia. Why? Because we think that thrombectomy under conscious sedation means operation under suboptimal conditions. And suboptimal conditions means low quality, high complications. So candidates for endovascular treatment, patients with large vessel occlusion and penumbra in the CT perfusion. We use two techniques, stent retrievers or aspiration. So the technical part, the stent retriever part, the thrombus follows the big vessel. Therefore, the stent is going to be delivered in the big vessel here. Hopefully, we will engage the thrombus and we retrieve the stent, hoping that we'll bring the whole material outside with the stent. This doesn't happen always. In 12%, we have distal emboli. And this is the way we grade the recanalization. The 2B and 3 recanalizations are the good recanalizations, as in this case. This is 3, this is 2B. So the ideal candidate, regardless time, is the patient who has small or no core, ischemic core in the perfusion imaging, and he has penumbra. This is an example of an ideal case, no core or small core, hypoperfusion, occlusion, recanalization, look, only this small basal ganglia territory lost. And the patient immediately with score 0 within one day. In the beginning she was score 13 in 70 minutes operation. Now, recently, in our department, since 1 year, we changed somehow our approach. This is another way of doing thrombectomy. This is direct aspiration. A few years ago, it was not possible because we didn't have such a good catheters to go distally, big catheters to navigate distally to the vasculature. The idea is we go near the thrombus, at the face of the thrombus, and we aspirate and we simply retrieve the thrombus. This is possible in the majority of cases. These are studies showing that this strategy is more simple, effective, etc., etc. This is an example, 33-year-old female with score 15, no significant core. You see some difference. Hypoperfusion, the whole carotid occluded, reopened after aspiration alone. These are the thrombi removed, and this is the MR after. You see some ischemia still, and the patient now had a score 5 from 15, 14 hours after onset. This is the other extreme of the spectrum age, 93-year-old, symptomatic, score relatively high, 13 hours, partial occlusion, not complete occlusion. Very bad vessels to navigate catheters. And you see the MR, again, the same scenario. You see here some anterograde flow and some retrograde flow, they meet somewhere here. That's why the patient is symptomatic. You see the bad vessels of the patient. Nevertheless, we were able to go up to here and aspirate this thrombus with this big catheter, and this is at the end, and this is at the end, and this is at the end. The patient was transferred to the referral hospital. 1 day later had a score 9. We don't know what happened afterwards. Very recent case, 19-year-old male, occlusion of the MCA, aspiration again. Up to here, this is M2 level, this is distal catheterization. The catheter, the big catheter is up here, the distal access catheter. The inferior trunk was missing. After recanalization, the inferior trunk is again open. You see the ischemia, the core. The core was relatively big. The patient was aphasic, completely aphasic in the beginning. And you see here, if you compare after 1 or 2 days, what we practically lost for sure was the putamen, but not certainly the cortex here. You see the difference in the signal. You see here, what we think it is ischemic, what at the end is ischemic after reopening. So sometimes we save tissue that we think was lost in this young patient. And this young patient, this is the T2, 1 day later was practically normal. Had some difficulty to find words, but was otherwise normal. So this is our series, more than 300 cases. 30% of these cases with carotid involvement. This is important because it makes the operation much more complex. If we compare the stent retrieval technique with the aspiration technique, this is better technique. More quick time, significantly better times, better recanalization in 95% of cases compared to the stent retrievers. Another comparison also show that. The last, I think, case, this is a patient, young patient in the ICU with non-compaction cardiomyopathy and XOR implantation. 1 week before the stroke, he had the right chamber changed of the device. High fluctuating INR before and during the hospitalization, found with GCS 11 hemiparesis aphasia. You see here the basilar is missing, thrombosed. Dense sign here in the basilar. Basilar occluded, this segment is missing. The upper part is supplied by the carotid. 6 hours later. So this is the basilar. This is the catheter going through the thrombosed part to a healthy territory. This is the stent. You may see the distal markers of the stent here covering the thrombus. This is after recanalization, not one time, of course, 4 times were needed here to recanalize this basilar. And this is at the end. And the patient with near complete recovery, Dr. Schwartz knows this patient very well. It is not always this happened in the basilar. The basilar is not so, the results are not so good. Often the patients come with severe infarctus, and after opening, we have the same infarctus plus other infarctus in the brainstem, and they die after days. Or immediately, you see the brainstem black after a successful operation. So the results in the basilar, in the posterior circulation, death 50%. And less than 20% good outcome. So this is the one before the last. From the technical aspect, mechanical thrombectomy, we move from the stent retrievers to aspiration, from 60 minutes to 30 minutes, from 4,000 something euros to 1,400 euros, it's cheaper also, and from complex approaches to more simple approaches. And the final conclusion, most of the patients with large artery occlusion have a penumbra. Of course, depends on the thresholds, but this is true. Selection, regardless time, is necessary. Perfusion is a good selection tool despite weaknesses. In case of very early arrival, marginal or suboptimal imaging or DAOPT, this is not certain, this is not rare. This is not rare. Endovascular treatment is offered because there are cases that we are in doubt. The quality of the image is not always good, especially in patients with a low cardiac output, etc. And primary manual aspiration is more effective, faster, simpler, and cheaper than stent retriever. That was all. Thank you very much.